Welcome to the Shir HaKtav HaKabbalah, Parshas Truma. In the beginning of Parshas Truma, we read about the construction of the Aron for the Mishkan. So in Perek Chofei Pasuk Yubeis, we read as follows. V'yotzakto lo arba taba'os zahav. You should cast, I'm reading the article translation, you should cast for it four rings of gold. V'nosato al arba pa'amosav. And you should put these four rings of gold on the four pa'amos of the Aron. What are pa'amos? So if one looks in the Targum writes, v'sitein al arba zivyose. Zivyose is the Aramaic word for corners. You should take these four rings and put them on the four corners of the Aron. And indeed that's the interpretation that Rashi cites. Rashi writes Parmosov Kitagumo Zivyose. In accordance with the Targum, it's Zivyose corners. And just to round it off, that's how Arskel translates it. You should cast it for it four rings of gold and place them on its four corners. The Ksava Kabbalah focuses on this word pa'amos, which again the Targum and Rashi translate as corners, and he points out that if one looks in the Rishonim, there's a lot of discussion as to how exactly to translate this word pa'amos, and not everybody translates it as corners. The Rabbi Ibn Ezra Omar, Ibn Ezra writes, Chipasti b'chol ha'mikra v'lomotzosti pa'am shehu zavis. Ibn Ezra writes, I looked through all of Tanakh, and I've never found anywhere where the word pa'am means a corner, rather, rak regel. Rather, a pa'am means a leg. And he quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mayafu pa'amayich bana'olim bas nodiv. O princess, how beautiful are your feet, how beautiful are your legs when they're in shoes. And therefore, the Ibn Ezra writes that the interpretation of pa'amosav in our pasuk means it's four legs. The aron, like a table, had four legs at the bottom of the aron, at the four corners, and the four taba'os, the four rings, were placed on the legs of the aron itself. And if you recall, we actually did this to Ibn Ezra a few years back. Ibn Ezra offers up the idea that there were actually eight rings on the Aron. There was an upper set of rings, a lower set of rings, and he works that into the Psukim. So in other words, the word Pa'amos does not mean it's four corners, but rather it's four legs. Varamban Toanolov. The Ramban is not happy with this interpretation of the Ibn Ezra, and he writes, "Ki ein pa'am regel aval hu shem hatsia." The Ibn Ezra said that pa'am refers to the foot. Mayafu pa'amayich bana'olim. Says the Ramban, pa'am doesn't mean the foot or the leg; it means the step. You know, that which is carried out by the foot or the leg. In other words, mayafu pa'amayich bana'olim bas nadiv in Shir HaShirim means, how beautiful are your steps in shoes, O princess. It doesn't mean how beautiful are your legs in shoes, O princess. So, therefore, writes the Ramban, V'omar akosuf pa'amosav lipsios hakohanim hanosim oso. The usage of the word pa'amos, says the Ramban, is to call to mind the steps of the kohanim who are carrying the Aron, v'romaz shnei devarim. And by using the word pa'amos, it hints at two things. Number one, shiyu atabos v'zavios lamata mamish smucha l'moshav ha'aron. In other words, that the rings should be towards the bottom of the Aron, near its bottom corners. And number two, upame ha'kohanim holchim ben tabas l'tabas. And the steps of the kohanim would be taken between the two rings on either side of the Aron. So in other words, it means corners, but it's a unique word for corners because it references that the corners are down at the bottom near the footsteps of the Kohanim. The Hatur, b'shem Aviv Harosh, Tan al Ramban. The Tur comes along, and quoting his father, the Rosh, has a complaint against the Ramban's interpretation. So the Ibn Ezra doesn't like Rashi, the Ramban doesn't like the Ibn Ezra, the Tur doesn't like the Ramban, he says as follows. The Ramban wrote that the rings are down at the bottom of the Aron. The Mivur, because the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Sadi Zayin, the Bishlish Ha'elyon Samuch L'Chachoris Ha'yu Atabos. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the rings were actually on the upper third of the Aron, closer to the Kaporis, the cover of the Aron. So what is the Ramban saying that the Tabaos were down at the bottom at the corners? How could that possibly be? So in other words, there's a lot of confusion over this word Pa'amosov. On the one hand, it doesn't really, there's no other precedent for the translation of it meaning corners. It seems difficult to translate it as meaning corners because the Gemara tells us that the rings of the Aron were actually not at the corners. You know, they were, or not at the lower corners, we should say, not at the lower corners of the Aron, you know, near where the Kohanim would step, the way the Ramban understands it. So how do you put all of this together? I'm sorry? Yeah, so in other words, they are at the corners, but just at the upper corners of the...
This is what Rashi said, right?
Well, Rashi doesn't really elaborate. No, Rashi... Right, Rashi does elaborate. It was Avios Oel Yonos, Samuf El Kaporos Hayunistunos. Rashi goes on to... He quotes the Targum. The Targum could go either way. In other words, the Targum just says it was the Tabos, the rings were at the corners. Which corners? So Rashi quotes the Gemara that says they were at the upper corners. The Ramban suggests they were at the lower corners, and that leaves the Rosh and the Tur to ask on the Ramban from the Gemara that indicates they were at the upper corners. Yeah.
Does the Tur ever disagree with the Rosh?
I don't know. Uledaiti, Englid chos divrei unkelus v'targim pa'amosov zoviosov, yesh ta'am l'targumos zeh. So, the first thing that the Haksava Kabbalah is going to set out here after laying out the different opinions of the Rishonim is to try to explain the position of the Targum Onkelos that Pa'amos means corners. Again, the Ibn Ezra's Taina is where do we find that Pa'amos means corners? And truth be told, even though Rashi and the Ramban, you know, and the Tur and the Rosh all accept the translation of Pa'amos meaning corners, Shiloh which corners, but they all accept that it means corners. In the end, they still haven't answered the question of the Ibn Ezra, where do we find that Pa'amos or Pa'amim means corners? So, writes the Aksava Kabbalah, the Kemosha Hunachal Zavis, Shem Pina, we know that another word for a corner besides Zavis is Pina. Shumiloshin pniyo, right? And pino means to turn, right? Pniyo means to turn or to look in a certain direction, right? Ki hazavis bo pone hasovit mitzad zeh litzad acher. What is a corner? A corner is where you turn and go in a different direction, usually a 90-degree angle. Kocha yichune hazavis b'shem pa'am. So the same way that you can call a corner pina, because it's a place where you are pone, where you change directions, by the same token you can call a corner pa'am. Why? L'fisha v'zavis yisno eya hasove v'yispalteo mitzad ze litzad acher. When a person comes to a corner, he changes direction. V'chol shimushe pa'am in yonam tnuo v'tiltul. And any time the word pa'am or some derivation of the word pa'am is used in Hebrew, it always connotes movement, and particularly a change in movement. Okay, so how do we back that up? So he brings a whole bunch of different examples. So for instance, let's start off with what we already made reference to. So the Ramban says that the word pa'am, right, refers to footsteps. Right? Mayofu pa'amayich banu olim basnov. Footsteps are associated, of course, with the idea of movement. of change in movement. In other words, the whole idea of footsteps is that you don't stand still in a particular place, you move in a certain direction. So hence the word pa'am, again, movement, changing movement, is associated with the idea of footsteps. A second example, a bell in Hebrew is the pa'amon. Why is it called the pa'amon? Because the chime inside, is that what's called the chime? The thing, you know, inside the bell moves, and it's that movement which is it the gong? You know, whatever it is. What's that? The clapper? The zach inside the bell, right? So it's probably a word for it. I'm sure there's a word for it. The thing inside the bell moves back and forth. And it's that causes the sound of the bell to be heard. And the bell itself vibrates when it's causing the sound. So pa'amon, literally translated, says Aksava Kabbalah, means the thing that moves, right? The thing that vibrates. A third example. Paro woke up from his dreams in the beginning of Parshas Miketz. Vahiva boker. It was in the morning. Vatipoem rucho, and his spirit was mitzpoem. Again, using that verb, the Targum translates it umitrafa ruche. His spirit was disturbed. Right. In other words, his thoughts were rapidly moving back and forth. They weren't serene. They weren't calm. But rather, because of the disturbing dream that Paro had, he was shaking, his thoughts were shaking, his spirit was shaking. Again, a usage of the word pa'am to denote movement and a change in movement. So with all three of these examples, says the author of the Aksava Kabbalah, it's not unreasonable to extrapolate from there that the word pa'am could be applied to a corner. The same way that a pina means a corner because the person turns the corner, so the corner could be called a pa'am, right? Because it's the place at which somebody walking around the object, if you were walking around the aron, you would turn at that point, you would change the movement, and hence the term pa'am can apply to the four corners of the aron. So in other words, that's why the Targum Onkelos fits in with the other usages of the word pa'am. Pa'am always denotes this movement, and particularly a change in movement. But there's more. He comments as follows. The Haralbag Kosav, the Rabbag of Levi ben Gershom, is a commentary on the Chumash. So he writes, Pa'amosov Rav Salomer Zov Yosef. Right? Like the Targum, the Rabbag also writes that the word Pa'amosov in the Pasuk means the four corners of the Oro. For whom inyan Pa'am, ki Pa'am hu Yishonus, Vaheder is Dabkus. V'chein ha'inyan b'zavios, ki bohem yichalku ha'shtochim ha'makifim b'davar k'toso miktsas. The word pa'am, says the Ralbag, has the connotation of division, of things that are being divided and separated from one another. We'll elaborate on this in just a moment. So why is the corner called a pa'am? So says the Ralbag, what's the corner? The corner divides one side from the other side. In other words, it makes a 90 degree angle where you have the line on the one side of the angle, the line on the other side of the angle. Otherwise it would be a straight line if you didn't have the corner, you know, it would be a straight line. Now you're dividing the line in two by virtue of the corner. So that's the Ralbag writes. On this Aksava Kabbalah comments, Actually, before we read a little bit further, let's just comment on this idea from the Ralbag. Essentially, the idea behind the Ralbag, although it's different from what the Aksava Kabbalah said before, the idea from the Ralbag fits in with the other uses of pa'am. In other words, the Aksava Kabbalah wanted to say that pa'am always denotes movement. The Ralbag says pa'am always denotes separation, right? So how does pa'am denote separation? So again, let's go back and, you know, any time you have, in a sense, any time you have movement, you know, there's a certain separation involved in movement. A person is walking, right? So their footsteps are pe'amim. They are separating from where they were previously. Right? I was standing still, and now I take a step forward. I am now separating my feet in order to be able to walk. By the same token, the bell that's ringing, the pa'amon, right? There's a degree of separation which is taking place. The sound is caused by the fact that the inner clangor, you know, is separate from the bell itself and moves back and forth and clangs the bell. And Vatipa and Rucho that we find by Paro, as opposed to his thoughts being settled and collected and put together, his thoughts were scattered and separated all over the place because he couldn't concentrate after the dream. So in other words, you know, the very same sources which, you know, the Ksav HaKabbalah uses, that the Rabban can use to his end. But then asks the Ksav HaKabbalah the following. Okay, very good. So we've established that the word pa'am can mean a corner. But there are other words that mean corner as well. Why would the Torah, Davka here, of all places, use a word which connotes, a word which connotes either movement or separation to describe the corners? So he says as follows. So how the Shavak Kro, Sha'ar Lashonos, Amisham Shos Lazovis, Kigon Pino, Miksav, Vichadome, Ubachar Beloshon Pamosov? Why did we choose, why did the Torah choose the Loshon Pamos? Kirosol Chlolbo Od Hora Acheris. The word Pamos captures something else about the Aron that's unique, namely, the way the Kohanim who were carrying the Aron walked was incredibly unique. The carriers of the Aron, the Levim who were carrying the Aron, were walked in a way which was different than the average person. He quotes the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. The Bnei Kehos who carried the Aron were on a higher level than the rest of the Levim. Shekol ha-Levim hayu ta'anim klei mikdash, because all of the Levim who would carry the vessels of the mikdash hayu mahalchim kedarkim pneim kineged haderech. They would carry the kli, but they would be facing forward. In other words, if you're carrying something, you could carry it from the side, but you would walk with your face facing in the direction in which you're walking. I mean, that's the most obvious and easiest way in which to walk. The Bnei Kehos carried the Aron in an unusual fashion. When they carried the Aron, they didn't face forward, they faced sideways towards the Aron itself. Because to face forward would be to turn their sides, and to some extent their backs, to the Aron. That's not a derech of kahod. So they would stand at a 90 degree angle facing the Aron, and they would walk sideways while carrying the Aron. Lest you think that this is only a medrash and, you know, it's not brought lahalacha, v'chein kasev haRambam. The Rambam writes this at the end of the second parak of Hilchos Klei Mikdash, that nosei haAron hayu mahalchin ponim keneged ponim. That's exactly how the ones that would carry the Aron would walk. They would walk, everyone was situated facing inwards towards the Aron, and they would essentially walk to the side. You know, they would walk in a very, very unusual fashion when carrying the Aron. V'yodua shehabadim hayin a similar rachva shel Aron. We know that unlike what you would think, the rods of the Aron ran along the width of the Aron. The orkol shel Aron mastig ben abadim. The lengthwise of the Aron, the longer part of the Aron, was between the badim, and that gave enough room. It was set up in such a way so that you would have two people be able to walk between the rods of the Aron and carry it. It wasn't simple to carry the Aron; you had to walk sideways. So since the Kohanim, or the Levim rather, were carrying this Aron again, Shiloh, Kohanim, Levim carrying the Aron, Rambam, okay, it's what to talk about, but whoever was carrying the Aron, since whoever was carrying the Aron was carrying the Aron facing inwards and walking sideways, they had to walk in this funny way, and to walk in a very, very unusual fashion. So truth be told, for those carrying the Aron, it was a big tircha. It's very difficult to carry the Aron, not just because of the weight of the Aron, which was immense, but you know, the unusual fashion in which they had to walk was very uncomfortable. So lachem torach kra v'kara zavios ha'aron b'shem pa'amosav l'chlol bo shtei hakavonos v'tam pa'amosav zavios ha'mishamshos l'pamei nosav. So says the Ksav HaKabbalah, the reason the Torah uses this unusual word for the corners, pa'amosav, is to give kavod to the footsteps of those carrying the Aron. They were forced to walk in this unusual fashion. So to recognize that, to acknowledge that, the Torah uses this unusual word for corners, which doesn't appear anywhere else, as the Ibn Ezra says, to give kavod to those who had to really walk in an unusual fashion to carry the Aron. Now we've been talking about carrying the Aron. We know Chazal have a very interesting statement with regard to the Aron, that ha'aron nosei es nosof. Right? It wasn't that the people carried the Aron carried the people, right? Miraculously. By the way, in light of what he quoted before from the Rambam, we appreciate the fact that the Aron carried those who were carrying it, because otherwise it really would have been a tremendous tircha to carry the Aron. So in other words, they were doing the Aron a favor, but the Aron was doing them a favor back, in a sense. But that very medrash of Chazal, says that Ksav HaKabbalah, also helps us understand why the word pa'amos is used over here. Uladivrei agada, according to the Gemara in Sota, shahaya ha'aron nosei es nosav, that the Aron carried those who were carrying it miraculously. Korei akosuv hazovios v'shem pa'amosav, ki'ilu heim asman hayu osin psios l'msoa es ha'aron. Right, a fascinating interpretation. If the corners of the why are the corners of the Aron called pa'amosav? Literally, its footsteps, right? The way that Ibn Ezra explained, its legs or its footsteps, as the Ramban explained. So says the Ksav HaKabbalah, this usage is yet another source for that which Chazal say that the Aron carried those who carried it. Because its corners were its legs, quote unquote. You know, the Aron, as it were, had legs, had footsteps, had the ability to walk on its own or to carry those who were carrying it. That very interesting idea. Again, the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk in Yoshua, right? That the Kohanim found themselves on the other side of the Yarden, sort of miraculously at the time that the Klal Yisrael crossed over the Yarden. But in addition to that, pasuk in Yoshua says the Ksav HaKabbalah, you can see it in the Chumash itself. This word pa'amosav, the legs or the footsteps of the Aron, is utilized because, in a very, very literal sense, the Aron had legs, footsteps. It had carrying ability, and therefore was able to carry those who ostensibly were carrying it. As I shall pick up after Ma'ariv with a second idea from Ksav HaKabbalah. Okay. Welcome to the second part of the Shiur, Ksav HaKabbalah, Parshas Truma. We spoke the first half of the Shiur about the Aron, and specifically the corners of the Aron, and why they're referred to as the Pe'amos. Later on in that same paragraph, Perek Chofei, Pasuk Tezayin, the pasuk says, "V'nosato el ha'aron, you should place in the aron eif ha'edus asher etene lecha. You should place the edus which I am going to give to you. What's the edus? So Rashi writes over here, Ha'edos HaTorah, you should place the Torah into the Aron. Why is the Torah called Eidos? Shehila Eidos Beini Uveinechem Shetzivisti Eschem Mitzvos HaKsuvos Bo. Because it is an Eidos, it is a source of testimony between me and you, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, concerning the mitzvos which I have commanded you. So in other words, Eidos refers to the Torah, and Eidos is so called because of the word Eid, you know, the notion of testimony. Indeed, the Targum on this pasuk, the Targum on Kulos, translates the word Eidos as Sahadusa. Sahadusa, again, is the Aramaic for testimony, for bearing witness. So, that, you know, certainly is the standard interpretation of Eidos. However, Reisach Sava Kabbalah aims the Mishka Lashon Ivri. It's something unusual because we find Lo Nimsa B'chala Torah Eidos B'melupam Kiyim B'luchos Mishkan Ho'eidos Oel Ho'eidos. It's only when referring to the Luchos or the Torah that the Torah uses the word Eidos. Most of the time when the Torah uses the word Ayin Dalid Vav Sof to refer to the Torah in some way or another, HaMitzvos Nikroim Eidos B'cholom. In other words, not Eidos with a Shuruk, but Eidos with a Cholom. Ho'eidos V'achukim V'amishpatim. Eidosai Zohar Lamdeim. Right? So writes the Haksava Kabbalah, Alkei Nira Lefi Pshuto, Shemilat Eidos B'melupam Inyan Adi V'chali Kesem. Kimovo adeich edi, ed yom ehar chorev, shesharshon adam manchei lamed hei, kimovo shoresh ge'ei ge'us lovesh. Writes that Sava Kabbalah, he wants to suggest another interpretation for the word eidus. Maybe it's not related to aid, because he says that really is more similar to the word eidos, that was laws that serve as a testimony between Klal Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam. But maybe the word Eidos is related to the word Adi. Adi means a piece of jewelry. And maybe the Torah is called Eidos, not because of the idea of bearing testimony. That's more a lashon of Chazal, he wants to suggest. In other words, Chazal certainly talk about Kabbalah, Eidos, and things of that nature. But the Ksav HaKabbalah is suggesting, in Biblical Hebrew, Eidos means the beautiful jewelry. And he says, V'chein kol Eidos b'melupam, if you look throughout Sefer Tehillim, whenever it talks about Eidus, it always refers to the Luchos or to the Dibros, you know, which are written upon them. And essentially, the way he's understanding it is that it refers to the beauty, the jewelry, the jewel of Klal Yisrael, which is the Luchos and the Dibros. And hence the word Eidos, which is used in our Sedra as well.
So, in other words, not everybody holds that when the Yarn was the Luchos, some people hold that was the whole written Torah.
Well, the truth is, the Torah itself says at the very end of Chumash, at the end of Dvarim, Lokoach Sefer HaTorah Azev v'samtem oso mitzad Aron HaKodesh, right? So in other words, and there Rashi brings, a difference in Chazal was the Aron, was the Sefer Torah placed on a ledge of the Aron, was it placed into the Aron, but certainly there was a Sefer Torah in addition to the Luchos, right? But in other words, everything can be referred to, and as the Torah itself and the Luchos can be referred to, are referred to with that term Eidus. The Chiddush of Ksav HaKabbalah is that Eidus over here means not so much testimony, but thing of beauty, article of beauty, jewelry, you know, jewel, which is being placed in that place. He then referring to the Torah and to the Luchos. In other words, the Torah and the Luchos are objects of beauty from our perspective. He then writes, we know that after the Chet HaEgel, Parshas Kisisa, it says that the Jewish people, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain and broke the Egel, it says, V'yisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es ed yomei har chorev. Klal Yisrael removed their adi, their jewelry. And there's quite a bit of discussion, what exactly was the jewelry that Klal Yisrael removed? So he quotes over there from the Rabbag, Ed yom hi ha-Torah she be'emes adi ushleimus. Along the lines that Aksav HaKabbalah is suggesting over here, the Ralbag writes over there that when Klal Yisrael removed their adi, they removed their jewelry, it means that they removed the Torah, right? The Talmo hisiu tzavar mitachas ol haTorah. Right? It's not meant in a positive sense. That Klal Yisrael took off their jewelry is a poetic way of saying Klal Yisrael divested themselves of the rule of Torah. They had this beautiful jewel, and they pulled off the jewel and threw it down. It's a criticism of Klal Yisrael. They had been given this jewel, and they took it off. And the Ralbag writes, the Kara is HaTorah b'shem Adi. The Torah is called Adi, a piece of jewelry, because the ultimate perfection and the ultimate beauty is Torah itself. And really, the Torah is so beautiful and so perfect that even in theory, had God not given us the Torah and not commanded us to follow the Torah, we should be attracted to Torah in its own right. I mean, the Torah is just something beautiful. It's objectively beautiful. You know, of course we follow it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to follow it, but in theory, you know, the Torah itself is so beautiful, we should follow it just because of the Torah's beauty. So Klal Yisrael unfortunately didn't recognize this. They abandoned the Torah, and you know, the pasuk is underscoring that they had this beautiful thing that was theirs and they threw it down. Right? So although the Ralbag is not giving that interpretation here on the word Eidus, but his interpretation of the Adi referring to the Torah fits in beautifully with the idea of the Eidus referring to the Torah, if we translate Eidus as well as beautiful ornament or jewelry.
Yeah, also, I just want to mention this. So I think when we talk about the stream, that they emptied out Egypt from the food of jewelry,
yeah.
It was the same word that the story was, I think, by Snatzlu over
here. Right, Vinisaltemus Mitzrayim.
Right.
Oh, very nice. By Snatzlu is Edyom Eachar. They emptied out. They have such a storehouse of beauty, and they emptied it out. They didn't take advantage of it properly. One last point Aksav HaKabbalah makes, he says, a second interpretation of Eidus, again different from jewelry and different than testimony, is that Eidus can mean admonitions, right? Azhara v'hasra'a. And, you know, he says that ultimately, in the end of the day, Torah and the Luchos represent admonitions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, telling us and warning us what it is that we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to carry out. And that notion of Eidus, of Hasra'a, is implied in this word as well. How does he connect Eidus to Hasra'a? He doesn't elaborate so much, but it would seem that this connects to the Halacha, which we all know that an integral part of Eidim, enabling someone to be sentenced for a crime, is that the Eidim have to give Hasra, the witnesses have to warn the person who's about to commit the crime. So in other words, the very word Eidus doesn't, according to the Aksav HaKabbalah, doesn't necessarily focus on the testimony, in other words, that which the witnesses say after the fact, but it focuses on the Hasra, the admonition, the warning that they're giving B'Shas Maisa at the time that the sin, the crime, is about to take place. That's really the Eidus, the warning of the person, is really what the Eidim are doing. And in that sense, the term Eidus can be applied to the Torah, to the Luchos, you know, in that sense as well. Okay, I just want to mention on a scheduling note, next week, Pesach Hashem, the Shiur is going to be Tuesday night, not Wednesday night. The local neighborhood Chasana Wednesday night. It's in Lakewood. It's a little bit difficult to be able to manage the shiur and be in Lakewood at the same time.
Muncie
might be different, but Lakewood is under the parsha. So Bezal Hashem, next week will be Tuesday night between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and we look forward to seeing everyone there. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.